building an exit strategy for an MSP, it is important. So who do you sell to? Well, Evergreen, one of those companies that's been buying MSPs. Ramsey Sehun joins me to talk about their strategy, and he plays ball answering some great questions on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech.
You're looking for security solutions for your MSP, and Bitdefender has new ones for you. With advanced protection, simplified management, 24/7 analyst-led security, threat hunting, and end-to-end protection options, it's time to check out Bitdefender's new offerings. With the ability to customize the security solution for what you and your customers need, you'll find a cost-effective selection with adaptive and scalable security. Want to check it out? Bitdefender would love to schedule a demo for you. Just visit bitdefender.com or the link in the show notes.
Well, Ramsey, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We were kind of laughing that we hadn't actually crossed paths before this, despite being in the MSP space for a little while. Tell me how you got interested in the managed services space.
Yeah. So kind of the origin story of Evergreen actually started in Omaha, Nebraska, with myself and my co-founder, Jeff. We went to Omaha for the Berkshire Hathaway annual shareholders meeting, which is kind of it's become a big deal. I think 40,000 people go to Omaha every year for it. And we kind of came away from that really inspired to start something like a Berkshire Hathaway, a holding company that holds businesses indefinitely, but for smaller businesses. So that's what kind of kicked off our search for industries that we thought would be conducive to that kind of business model. And pretty shortly thereafter, we were very intentionally looking through a bunch of different industries and discovered the MSP niche within the broader category of IT services. And we sort of discovered, it was kind of old news, I guess, by that point, this is 2017, we discovered that managed services model had made MSPs much better businesses. Like they were more recurring, they were more profitable, they were sticky, they were growing quickly. All the things that we didn't normally associate with IT services became apparent when we looked at our first MSP, which is a company called Executech in Utah. Then we talked to another MSP, Wolf Consulting in Pittsburgh, and we started seeing a pattern of these are really good businesses. And then kind of the rest is history from there. It was really those two companies opening our eyes to kind of the transformation and shift to managed services that had occurred, prior to our arrival.
So you dig into this space, start working with some of the customers, and obviously a thesis comes out of it. So can you outline for me what Evergreen's investment thesis is and how you identify the right opportunities based on that thesis?
Yeah. So the thesis of Evergreen was simple. Again, just going back to the Berkshire thing, it was build a long-term home for businesses. So instead of buying companies and flipping them, we can be a true long-term owner of companies and operate those businesses independently. So those are kind of the two core tenets, long-term ownership and decentralized operating model. And we felt like those things were really conducive to the MSP space. There's a lot of intimacy with the customer. And a lot of times when you integrate businesses, there's a lot of customer churn as a result of that. So it was kind of conducive to a decentralized operating model where we could get the companies together and share best practices and be better for having all the businesses together, but still operate them independently where they have really close relationships with their customers and they can keep that stickiness and maintain that autonomy. So that's kind of the core of the thesis, and that's been really unchanged for 6 years and 70 MSPs. So those were kind of the core tenets that that emerged once we discovered the MSP space.
Now, as an investor, you've taken two routes to you making money and the organization making money off the table, right? By saying you're going to hold on to it for a long period of time and that they're going to operate independently. You've taken a couple of things off the table, right? You've taken off the ability, well, to sell it, right? Somebody else pay for the asset. And you've also taken off that typical, like, hey, we'll integrate and we'll save money through cost reduction. You've taken those strategies off the table. So tell me what you view as the key strategies for creating additional value through Evergreen R.
Yeah. So a few things come to mind. The first is more, maybe the first is more like investing oriented and finance oriented. And then I'll maybe touch on some of the operational side. I think on the investing side, if you look at the way, you know, massive wealth has been created, it has been through long-term ownership of companies that compound in value over time and reinvest their profits, whether it's into new business lines or into acquisitions. So you look at, you know, all the biggest companies, all the richest people, they're single company operators that, you know, own their businesses for a long time and reinvest in them. So that you don't find, when you look at the biggest wealth creators, a lot of people that just flipped businesses, like flipped their way to the wealth, because you miss out on the compounding nature of wealth creation. You instead sell, you pay taxes, then you need to find something else to reinvest in that does well, then you need to sell that and pay taxes. So just compounding is a big part of our kind of ethos. So that's how we view, you know, making the idea of making money. We view it as creating wealth over time versus a single event. On the business side, there are still opportunities from a vendor standpoint to leverage our collective scale to reduce vendor costs. So we do that. But I think the bigger thing is talent. So a lot of MSPs that we acquire don't have a succession plan. And so we are often bringing executives into these businesses to both help them get to the next level. So like a $5 million MSP, what additional kind of horsepower can we bring to the management team to help push that business to $10 million of revenue, and that person can eventually be the successor to the founder. So I think that those are kind of the two things. There's like the scale with vendors, and there's the talent that we deploy into these businesses to help them with succession, but more importantly, to kind of turbocharge their growth. So I think those are main things. I know it's maybe a bit of a rambling answer, but that answers.
I like the ramble there, actually, because it helps me understand, like, not just the thought, but you also put them in an order, right?
So that, right.
That actually helps. So tell me, what's the approach to deal sourcing? How are you out there? I mean, at some level, I'll say you have a reputation for, like, blanketing the market and everyone has an offer.
So, yeah.
Like, what is your approach to deal sourcing?
Yeah, it's very rigorous. We have a team of about five people here at Evergreen that I lead that are responsible for sourcing our MSP acquisition. So we try to have in our database every MSP there is. And we try to, get in touch with as many MSPs as we can. But we have a pretty clear set of criteria. Like, we don't go below 500,000 of EBITDA and 3 million of revenue and 50% recurring revenue. And then there are a whole host of other factors why an acquisition might not make sense. So it is a real funnel. Like, I think we have maybe there's a perception that you're just going out and buying everybody. It's a very low conversion. I mean, we probably buy like 1% of the companies that we talk to. And we bought 70 companies. So it's a very kind of comprehensive process like that. There's definitely a funnel that emerges. But as far as how we go about sourcing, I mean, there's just no replacement for getting out and meeting people where they are, whether it's conferences or just stopping by their city and meeting them in person for coffee, and just reaching out, and being a real active participant in the industry, I think is kind of the approach that we've taken. That's kind of how we think about it.
So walk me through the due diligence process. Like how are you assessing the viability and potentials of the companies that you're looking to invest?
Yeah. So usually we have an initial, like a typical process is an initial conversation with a business owner, and we screen, you know, from a size and revenue mix standpoint, is it a fit? And is our strategy a fit with the owner? From there, we get an NDA in place and they share financial information. Then we have another hour long call. And at that point, we can pretty confidently get to a letter of intent. And then if we get under a letter of intent, it's a 60-day due diligence process that's more rigorous. The most rigorous part of that is what's called a quality of earnings analysis, where basically the financials are being validated. It's kind of like a mini audit. And so that's kind of the most intense part of that 2-month diligence process is that quality of earnings process. We do a lot of meeting with the owners, next layer of management, to the extent that we can. And then the other big part of diligence is we do customer calls. So we engage a third party to reach out as if they're doing a customer satisfaction survey on behalf of the company. And so through that, we get a sense for how satisfied and how stable the customer base is, which is critical. Like one of the big ways you can screw up these acquisitions is if you have a lot of churn. So that's a big part of the diligence process. And then there's legal, which is more about like the transaction execution. We often don't find a bunch of skeletons in legal diligence. But that's kind of the overall process. Like, you know, we can start to finish, get it all done in, you know, probably under 3 months if everyone's, you know, marching ahead.
Right. So how do any environmental, social, and governance factors influence your investment decisions?
Yeah, it does. I mean, so we're backed by Alpine Investors, which is the private equity firm that I used to work at that backs us. In the system that we use to manage our deals, there is a feel for whether something is red, yellow, or green on ESG. Basically, every MSP we've come across has been green. You know, things that can be more like things that could come up would be like if you serve an end customer that is controversial, like cannabis or something that has to do with like weapons or defense. We've never had that come up in the MSP space, but we invest in a few other industries where it's been a consideration, mainly around like the customer that you're serving and that being, you know, controversial in some way, usually around a little bit around oil and gas and then defense. And then, yeah, cannabis is the other one that I've seen kind of pop up as a consideration.
Yeah, that's one of those interesting areas where I've actually seen a lot of interesting stuff happening in the managed services space in a very small section of cannabis tech. So it'd be interesting to see if that changes over time.
Very interesting.
I want to get a little bit now, not asking about any specific deal, but what I want to actually get is, because you don't have a strategy, you know, you're at exiting, I want to actually get a little bit more insight into kind of what's the perfect sense of the way a deal would be structured for looking from Evergreen's perspective of how that value and investment will return back from a cash and from an ownership perspective. Kind of give me a little bit of like the perfect version so that we don't have to describe a specific deal, but like kind of the structure in your head of the way you want that to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the perfect Evergreen deal is what, and the first company we acquired, I will get specific. The first company we acquired, Wolf Consulting, has been just an amazing acquisition. And I think been kind of in the benchmark against which we measure all of our other acquisitions. So it was a really solid, operationally mature MSP, doing a lot of the right things. Lloyd Wolf was the founder, really strong operator. He wanted to sell and transition out of the business, but he cared a lot about the business operating independently and about it having a long-term home. We put Elliot Hyman, who actually is now the CEO of, oversees all of our MSPs, all 70 of them globally, but we put him in as the director of business development at Wolf Consulting for a year. And then he succeeded Lloyd as CEO and Lloyd transitioned out. Wolf is more than tripled in size since we are all organically, like no acquisitions, is tripled in size since we acquired it. And, you know, now that Elliot has hired his successor, a guy named JB Lamb that runs Wolf Consulting today, as Elliot's elevated to oversee all of our MSPs. So that was kind of that one. It felt like, you know, we just got everything right. Like as far as the quality of the business, the quality of the person that we partnered with in Lloyd, placing a leader, the succession plan going really well, that leader having bigger career opportunities within Evergreen as they grow in their career. So I think that's kind of like when it all goes right. You know, that's.
Is the way that this works? You guys are taking dividends out on a like as the owner, like a percentage ownership. Like, just give me a sense of the way that works from the cash flow perspective.
Yeah, yeah. So, we've more with the growth in the business, we've more than paid back. So, every company sweeps the cash flow that it generates on a monthly basis up to Evergreen. We and Wolf has swept now more than the original purchase price of the business back to Evergreen. So we're kind of like in the money on just cash sweeps on that business. And then the big part about our strategy, it kind of goes back to what I said about the idea of compounding. We take that cash flow and cash flow from all our other businesses, and that gets redeployed. And that funds our future acquisitions. So instead of raising more outside capital and more outside capital, you're able to internally fund your acquisition. So you're not diluting shareholders, bringing in more capital to fund acquisitions. So that's where it really gets exciting, and you can compound in a tax efficient way. You're redeploying cash into your businesses. So that's the core of the strategy. And the goal is if you have investment opportunities that you think generate sufficient returns, you'd always be redeploying. And I see that as a big part of my role here at Evergreen is to make sure we have opportunities to redeploy that capital, because we don't want to be paying it out as a dividend if we have a better returning opportunity within the business.
Now, I think you started during a time frame where money was, if not totally free, close to free, right?
Yeah.
Because of rate levels. And we're now operating in a position where money is not free. Now, neither one of us is going to try and predict the Fed, and we're not going to like play games with thinking where this is going. But I think it's safe for me to say, I think the days of free money are behind us, and whether or not they have, you know, a couple of percentage points or they're higher, there's probably a cost to it. How has that shift changed your thinking on the way that you're building the business out?
Yeah, it hasn't changed our thinking all that much. I think I started my career in buying businesses at a time where money was not quite free. It was on the path to becoming free. We always would kind of underwrite deals, assuming, you know, a more normal level of interest and interest expense. That period of time where debt was really cheap, was tough in a lot of ways, because you would, there were some bigger businesses that we pursued and just couldn't be competitive on valuation. And now today, I feel like our valuation framework hasn't changed, but we're winning a lot more deals. That's kind of been the journey over the last 6 years. Been like, we've been pretty consistent on our valuation framework. It's gone up over time, but there, that period of like 2021, maybe 2022, you saw some really high valuations being paid at the top end of the MSP market. And we just couldn't get those done. And I feel like we're more competitive now. So that's been kind of the biggest change. And we've worked to kind of be pretty steady in our valuation framework and not just, you know, react to the whims of interest rates. So that's been how we've tried to approach it.
So you're one who's got your fingers in a number of different businesses across this space. You're looking at it very much from the investment perspective and trying to make sure these businesses return. What's the biggest headwind you're thinking about right now as you think about the next, say, 2 to 4 years?
Yeah. I think there are two things. I mean, the first, I think, is just what is going to be the impact of AI on these businesses. And I can, you know, depending on what side of the bed I wake up on, I can paint a really glorious picture of how much more efficient we're all going to be and what that's going to mean for margins and growth. On the other hand, you know, I could see it commoditizing some of the lower end MSP work and being disruptive to the industry. So I think about that a lot, more big picture, and then more zoomed in. There's been a lot of, I think, harvesting of existing customers through upselling cloud and cybersecurity and all these add-ons. I don't know that the industry as a whole has done a great job of like adding new customers. So I think organic growth, or organic growth, not just from getting more from the existing customer base, I think that's the more like near term thing I think about, that I think MSPs are really going to have to invest in, because a lot of the growth historically has come from the existing customer base.
Well, I think that's the question that we're all sitting up thinking about. Ramzi Sehun is the co-founder and chief technology officer of Evergreen Services Group. And before founding Evergreen, he held roles at Alpine Investors and Revolution Capital Group. Ramzi, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
This episode sponsored by Skykick, new sponsor for MSP Radio. Skykick has been helping over 30,000 MSPs for the past 10 years be more successful in the cloud, migrating, protecting, securing, and managing their Microsoft 365 customers. A highlight in their offerings is their Microsoft 365 data protection solution, Cloud Backup. They've recently enhanced it with a new feature called Smart Insights. This feature delivers visual insights, empowering partners to engage more efficiently with customers on Microsoft 365 data protection. And MSP Radio listeners get a special offer. Get a free 2 M365 email migration for a customer when you bundle it with backup. Visit skykick.com/MSP Radio to learn details.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button and follow or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.